Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. And you want to keep that number handy because we'll be using it a little bit later in the show to give away four sandwiches or four salads from Urbane Cafe. Two locations to serve you, one here in Ventura at 4350 Telephone Road in the Barnes & Noble Shopping Center, the other in Oxnard at 1730 East Gonzales Road, the intersection of Rose and Gonzales. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business impacting our personal lives. Each of my guests will discuss an aspect of business that has an effect on our personal life. My first guest is the show's financial guru. I've invited him to return to the show to discuss the top financial headlines of the day and how they impact our lives. My second guest is an investigative journalist and a former CBS producer. She's conducted research on corporate management and worker discrimination. We'll discuss her findings contained in her book, The Diversity Index. My third guest is the founder of Joya Tech Solutions, an internet consulting company. She'll explain the dangers present on the internet and how to navigate anonymously from her latest book called The Internet Plan. And if you have questions or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. My regular listeners know Ken Winans for his insightful and profitable financial advice. Ken is a successful investment management entrepreneur and an award-winning author, an active philanthropist, and a renowned collector. He's the president of Winans International, an investment company and a fund manager. He's a regular guest on a variety of TV and radio shows, including our own CBS affiliate KNX in Los Angeles. Ken is a business historian as well as a financial guru. Back in October 2009, he became the senior portfolio manager for the Winans Long Short Fund. Ticker symbol is ETFMX, and we'll talk to him about that a little later on, if time permits. He has a bachelor's degree in business economics from the University of San Diego. He's got a master's in finance from the University of San Francisco. He is a space aficionado and joining us from the Northern California area. Hi, Ken. Welcome back to the show. How are you today?
Hey, Bill. How's it going?
Well, it is going very, very well. Thank you for coming back, and thank you for helping me tackle some of these challenging business issues of the day. There are some stories out there that are laying low in the headlines, but may have a really big impact on us coming into the Christmas season and into next year, and I want to talk about those, get them out on the table. First place I want to talk about is consumer confidence. You know, there's a lot of talk right now about the consumer confidence number, and it's gone up since the last time on your show. The consumer confidence number for month is about 56.0, and that's up from a 40.9 the last time that you were on the show. Now, consumer confidence is important because it may or may not lead to consumer spending, and consumer spending is about 70% of this country's gross domestic product. So if consumers' assessment of the current situation shows that it's improving, are we going to have a good Christmas selling season? Is this going to be a good selling season for the retailers and a good buying season for consumers, Ken?
Well, a couple things to consider. I mean, we talk a lot about economics, but the one thing that's never quite, I think, either embraced or understood, that a lot of economics is psychology. The difference between you spending money today is based on where you think you'll be in the very near future. So when you, and actually it's interesting when you think about that, really 80 or 85% of us are actually employed in this country, but is that fear that we might end up on the other side of the aisle that causes you to retrench? The problem I have with a lot of the consumer confidence statistics is that they're very fickle. They can change on a dime. And especially during the holiday season, there does tend to be a tendency to, whether it's just hearing all the great music or having some good eggnog or whatever it might be, but we generally feel a little bit better about things, and the number does tend to creep up. But with that being said, you are hearing that, well, certainly from the retailers and certainly also on the Internet side of things, that it's better than a lot of the retailers expected it would be this year. You know, when we were looking at September, October, a lot of retailers were downplaying that, hey, we don't think it's going to be a good season. But lo and behold, when you look at the stocks of many of the retailers who serve various segments of the market, you know, these stocks are actually doing pretty good. If you didn't know better, you'd actually think we're in a bull market.
Well, yeah, and we have to separate the stocks from the actual economy because they are very two different things. But the impression that I got from the consumer confidence number is this. After 6 months of steady decline going into November, this is the first uptick that we've seen in a while. Mm-hmm. Is this a blip, or do you think that this is a turning the corner and we're starting to see a trend of more confident consumers going into 2012?
Bill asked me next month, and I mean that in all sincerity, I really need to see a couple of months of that trend developing. There's been a lot of times we've seen these one-month blips. By the way, in both directions, we've seen it where it's extremely negative and it's revised upward, and we've seen it the other way. I believe that we're seeing things slowly improve, but I put the term slowly as if any of us are Star Trek fans, that the economy is on impulse power. I mean, you're not on warp drive by any stretch of the imagination, and you're not going to be for quite some time. But yes, there does seem to be an idea that it is improving. But with that being said, I could make a case that things are very fragile, and it wouldn't take much to have things reverse very quickly.
Well, that is true. My guest is Ken Winans, CEO of Winans International. Now, Ken, let's do equate the stock market with the actual economy that's out there. Since the last time you were on the show, the stock market is actually up about 500 points. And the numbers came in for the third quarter, and the earnings have been very, very good from most of the U.S. companies. The only thing that appears to be keeping a lid on the economy right now is this fear that we have of things that are going on in Europe, what I would consider externalities. But if you took a look at just the corporate earnings and you looked at them in a vacuum, what picture is that painting for the stock market and hopefully for the broader economy?
Well, there's two things to it. And there, you know, Europe is a big part of it. There's no doubt about it. But it still ties back to what's actually going on with our financial institutions. Just listen to these numbers. I mean, J.P. Morgan is still down 22% on the year. Wells Fargo stock is down 13%. Bank America stock is down, believe it or not, a whopping 57%. That's as of today. The market's telling you there are still some problems there. And yes, these companies do have ties with Europe, but the problem continues to be real estate. You are still looking at very, very strong softening in the housing market. It's very sporadic, by the way. Some areas it's getting better than others, but nationwide, if you look at the mortgage portfolios that these companies still hold, there are still a lot of unanswered questions, and we will not know who and how they're going to come out of this malaise until probably mid to late next year.
Yeah, that's true. The only place where we see real estate actually improving is Washington, D.C., sadly enough.
That's a tale unto itself. Or in North Dakota, where they're drilling for oil. It's one of those two places. But I was just not long ago visiting areas of Las Vegas and Phoenix, and you know, and again, there's no signs of recovery in some very, very large markets. So until those weaker areas begin to turn around, I think you have to lean on the side of things are going to be slow going.
All right. Well, Ken, you are an expert on investing, and I want to take a different tact as we look at investing today, mm-hmm. because you of course, help us with investment advice as we go through. But I've noticed something that has me a little bit concerned, and the overall question that I have for you, is it really possible now for an individual investor to make money? And here's why I ask the question, because we've seen an explosion of high-frequency trading, mm-hmm. and that seems to be moving the markets where computers come in and actually are trading on fractions of a penny, moving share prices up and down depending on the whim of the high-frequency trader. And these high-frequency traders have just increased the volatility in the market as measured by the volatility index, the VIX. Mm-hmm. So when this high volume trading that's out there right now, is it possible for the individual investor to make money either trading stocks or even buying and holding when you have these machines that are dominating the movements in the stock?
Well, you know, technology's been around for quite a while. I remember when back in the 80s, we were having very similar conversations about what we called program trading, which is one of the triggers that sent us into a careening mess there in October of 87 during that crash. So, you know, computers have been, the constant debate about their role in investing. And this year has no doubt, Bill, as we all know, been a very, very volatile year. And in fact, I think if you take the last 24 months, certainly ever since Greece has blown up, it's been a very interesting ride. But with that being said, the question you asked is, can an investor make money? I still believe the answer is yes, but it's not necessarily in stocks. When I look at things such as corporate bonds, prices are up 4%. They're yielding, when I'm looking at the Dow Jones Corporate Bond Index, it started the year yielding 3.94%. That means you're going to end the year with a 7.9% yield. Preferred shares, which are high dividend paying type of stock, they're going to finish the year up 7% when you include dividends. So I just think that, you know, when you are in a soft economic patch, you're not going to do real well in the stock market. I mean, go back and look at the 70s. The Dow Industrial Average didn't hit a new high for over a decade. So you have to accept there's times to be in equities and there's times not. But with that being said, for people who are trying to do it themselves and are unwilling to devote the time necessary to do it well, you're going to have problems, because the days of the 90s and the 80s when you could have bought and held an index fund are over. You really have got to be used to playing hardball.
All right. Cautionary words from Ken Winans. Ken, I noticed in some of those alternative investments that you mentioned, nowhere did you talk about commodities. Tell us the commodities picture for 2011. It has not been quite as bright as it was in 2010, has it?
Absolutely not. Well, but with that being said, you know, commodities are a broad area. If you're talking about gold, gold's up 20% year to date, certainly has had a good year. Silver started out great, as we both remember. It was, I think in the first 2 months of the year, it was up 32% for 2011, but it's going to finish up the year up 4. Commodities you have to be very careful with, because if you're going to go down the path of opening up a commodity futures trading account, you are really going to have to step up and understand it can be devastating. Just look at what happened to MF Global. This is all because of highly leveraged bets. So if you want to have commodities and you want to use exchange-traded funds, there is a fund out there that's under the symbol DBC. It's a basket of commodities. You're right, it hasn't particularly had a great year. It's down about 1% on the year. But you can put money there. The one thing I would caution people on, though, I still have people talking to me about gold. There's still, you know, concerns about we're going to go off a cliff and all those other things. Yes, gold should be considered as an investment, but don't necessarily over-allocate towards it, because I would argue you're probably a little late coming to the party.
Well, that's that possibility, because it's been as high as almost $1,900 an ounce, and it's backed off of that. Gold over the long term, though, if we look at it over the last 50 years, has it or has it not been a good measure of value and a good investment?
Yeah, it's funny. I did an article with USA Today on this, and you would have think I had said God was dead, because the hate mail I had received on simply making this statement, that if you look at gold versus real estate and stocks over 50 years, real estate and stocks have won out. Now, in the last 10 years, when you've had the, you know, we've had the last 12 years when you've had since the end of the dot-com bubble, and certainly with the real estate bubble that burst, gold has shined through. It's been a great place to protect yourself and certainly to make money. But if you're going to look at long-term statistics, it's very hard to make a case for gold and silver as a buy and hold and turn your back on type thing. I know there's a lot of gold and silver bugs out there that are going to probably be looking for me, but the reality of it is I would just caution you, go back and look at what happened in the late 70s to people who swore they'd never sell their gold and silver. They took huge hits. It took them over 25 years to get back to break even. That, to me, is not a good investment.
No, it's probably not. My guest is Ken Winans. He's the CEO of Winans International. Ken, a question that I ask you every single time you come on the show is, which will we see first, the Dow 9,000 or unemployment at 9%? That question has been answered for us, because unemployment this last reporting period turned out to be 8.6%. So it's under 9%. We did see that first. However, let's dig a little bit deeper into these numbers. In what way are those numbers skewed by the holiday season? And what are those? Do these numbers actually portray what's going on in the employment market, do you think?
These statistics can be very misleading. And by the way, I don't think it's some government conspiracy to try to mask the truth. You have to use rules when you're going to come out with a single number, and there's certain assumptions that they use in coming out with the unemployment number. What you want to also watch, though, is an index that they call the participation rate, and that is the actual number of eligible workers who are, in fact, working. That number continues to be troublesome, meaning that it is lower than it should be. To have a drop in unemployment and not having the participation rate going up just simply means people have stopped looking, and that causes a problem. But Bill, you hit the nail on the head, though, about the seasonal factors. There are a surprisingly large number of seasonal jobs that have opened up this year, but we'll have to see where we are going into January and February next year. But I know I'm probably sounding like an old broken record, but realize that we still have those people who are originally in the construction industry. I have a hard time believing that these folks are going to go from those high-paid construction jobs to working at McDonald's for the long term. Until you find a way to put those people back to work in meaningful employment, I just don't think you're going to have us get back to what we would call a normal employment rate.
All right. Let me take this question one step farther, if I can, with you, Ken, because no president in the post-World War II era has been reelected with unemployment at or near 9%.
Mm-hmm.
If unemployment remains the same at 8.6%, what does this mean for President Obama's reelection chances?
I think it's really up to the Republicans and who they decide to run. If it is somebody who can debate President Obama well, you probably have a horse race. If you have somebody who really doesn't seem to have a good grasp on the economy, I think that there will be a lot of independent voters who will just say, well, stay with who we have because this other person doesn't sound much better. But with that said, here's another interesting statistic Bill, I know you love history as much as I do. Since 1830, there's never been a president reelected that has had the stock market careening out of control and real estate, and I'm talking about housing, that's substantially declined from when they took office. So if he does win and the market is, let's say the Dow is down at 9,000, he will be the first president to be reelected. That says a lot.
It does. It says a lot about our times. My guest is Ken Winans, CEO of Winans International, also a fund manager for Winans Long Short Fund, ticker symbol ETFMX. Ken, tell us about the Long Short Fund. How are you doing so far year to date?
Well, you know, it's funny we're going to talk about it because of a lot of the regulation that we see coming up next year, we're actually closing the fund.
You're closing it?
Yeah, we're going to close it. We've just, my business partner and I said, hey, the Winans International separate asset management business has been doing very well. That's working out well. There's no real big changes regulatory to how we run our core business. But, boy, the stuff that's coming down the pipe with the Dodd-Frank Act and these other things are making us question whether or not we want to be there.
Wow, now that's breaking news. If I had known that before, we would have really dug into this a little bit more deeply. So you're saying Dodd-Frank, the regulations that we're seeing as a result of the 2007 to 2009 recession, make it impossible for you as a fund manager to profitably continue with the Winans Long Short Fund?
Well, it's just one of those things. When I look at the margins, I'm looking at the profitability of one end of our business versus the other. It's a no-brainer. We do better as a business from a business perspective on that side. But also, with that being said, when we bought out the Winans Long Short Fund, we wanted to see if it would be an effective tool for hedging and dealing with the markets the way it is. It has had a very mixed performance record. It didn't do well in 2010. It did really quite well throughout most of this year. But with that being said, we just said, you know what? Let's go back. Let's say, as Tom Peters said, stick to your knitting. We're very good core asset managers. That's where we need to be.
Wow. My guest has been Ken Winans. He's the CEO of Winans International. Ken, you've given us a lot of good advice. If people want to learn more about you and your advice in investments, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Best place to go, they could just look me up in any search queue. Ken Winans, the last name spelled W-I-N-A-N-S. But just go to WinansInternational.com for actual information on my business. And as far as my books, Bill, they're all sold on Amazon, and they make great Christmas gifts.
Well, great plug for you, Ken.
Plug.
Super. I love it. Ken, thank you so much for being my guest. It's always a delight. We'll talk to you down the road.
Sounds good, Bill. Take care.